Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Cook and Joe Show on Paul's Ice. We are moving right along here. We've got, like you just said, breaking news. Mike Sullivan, new contract. It is a three-year extension, actually. I think, talking to Eric Hagman here, we were looking at the release. It's 4 years total, but it really is only, I mean, he's going to coach this year under his current deal. The new deal will begin in the 2021 campaign. So if you know, do the math, 2021, 21-22, and 22-23, it's really a three-year extension for Mike Sullivan. And I'll be honest, I think that this is an interesting decision by the Penguins, because you look at the way hockey coaches kind of come and go and kind of flame out and whatnot. He seems to be at that point where a lot of times coaches really start to wear out their welcome with the group or whatever. Now, you know, you can point to the fact that, well, he's a 100-point seasons his last 3 years, and I get all that. But he also, really, if you think about it, they've gone the last 3 years, they won the Stanley Cup. Then they lost in the second round, and this year they got swept in the first round. So I was of the opinion that this is something they could have taken care of. But I think if it were me, I would have waited till at least halfway through the season. And even if it cost you a couple of extra dollars to get him done, I just don't understand why you feel the need to do this right now. And frankly, we're probably going to be having the same conversation about Mike Tomlin, because I would fully expect that they're going to sign him at some point too. But he's got, I think, 2 years left on his deal. I don't think that you necessarily need to go out and sign these guys. I think, Sullivan, you look at hockey and the way that the coaching thing goes in hockey, if he gets off to a bad start this year, you know, unless this deal is one of these deals where there's not a ton of, you know, guaranteed money after a certain point or whatever, or there's a buyout that's reasonable, I mean, you're kind of locked in here. And I think Mike Sullivan's a great coach, but you know what? We've seen in that league how many coaches that have, you know, won championships, if you think about it, and then got fired. It's amazing. You know, that league, it happens, it seems to be more often than not. You know, I think, you know, you've got, starting with guys like Scotty Bowman, Joel Quenneville. I mean, Joel Quenneville, you figured he had a lifetime deal. But eventually, it just seems in that league that things, the message starts to wear out or whatever. Now, I will say this. I am happy that they are going to keep him around, or think they're going to keep him around, because I do think he's a very good coach. I think there's a couple of things he does that probably drives you crazy. He tinkers with the lineup too much. Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes he doesn't allow guys to sort of materialize, and he doesn't allow lines to sort of come together and figure it out together. You know, he's impatient, and he basically, you know, if he puts a line together or he puts a combination together, I'd like to see him ride it for a little longer, because I think that, if you think about it, it takes time, I think, to develop some chemistry. It takes time. It does. And so I really, really just don't quite understand why he's so quick to put together a combination, a line combination, a pairing, whatever. And then basically he'll tear it up quickly if it doesn't pan out quick enough for him. There are just some things that he does that just basically drive me, you know, drive me and a lot of other people crazy. And I think it drives some of his players crazy. But by the same token, you know, it's hard to argue with completely with his results. I think he's done a great job of doing the things. And I do think that it comes down to they obviously don't want him to become a free agent. However, I would argue this, and I say the same thing about Mike Tomlin. He's got a great situation, and he knows it. He's not going to be able to take over a team that's got, you know, a better core of star players. Because gyms are going to come open are jobs where guys have gotten fired, and the reason they've gotten fired for the most part usually is because they don't have enough talent. So, you know, if you look around at the, I guess the one exception could be Toronto if they get tired of Mike Babcock, you know, making all the money he makes and not doing anything in the playoffs. But for the most part, the teams that you're going to take over if you're a coach, they are probably going to be teams that aren't very good. I think he also has a very good relationship with Jim Rutherford. Have they seen eye to eye on every player? No, they don't. But for the most part, they work well together. I think they want the same things. I think they value the same things. I think that Jim Rutherford has a lot of faith in him and gives him a lot of autonomy to do kind of the things he wants to do. So to me, you know, you also have a really good relationship with ownership. And you know, although Mario and company are engaged, I don't believe they're meddlesome either. You know, every so often, okay, yeah, you're right. Every so often, they might give him a player like Ryan Reaves that he doesn't like or doesn't want, but that's going to happen everywhere. I think for the most part, they work well together. I think for the most part, they do well together. They've had a lot of success, and I think that it's good in so many ways. It's really good for them to be able to continue to do what they do. And I think, by the same token, like I said, I think Mike Sullivan understands he's got a great situation. I think that's the key. You don't have to worry about him becoming a free agent. I don't think you're going to irritate him or, you know, make him upset to the point where he's going to want to go somewhere else. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you had time to wait and see. You know, there are some time, and again, I would say the same thing about Mike Tomlin. You got 2 years with him. And here's the thing. Where's he going? And believe me, if Mike Tomlin came on the market, there'd be a ton of jobs. He'd be one of those coaches that would have, you know, pretty much his pick of whatever jobs come open. But the problem is, I don't know how many of those jobs he would take that are better than the jobs he has, than the job that he has. In fact, if you look around the league, I don't know many other ownership groups that he would probably want to work with. He's got a good thing with Kevin Colbert, and, you know, so I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, you've got to lock him up because I don't think he's going anywhere. And I would say the same thing about Mike Sullivan. I don't think he was going to go anywhere. So why not wait and see? At least wait to see what happens with the start of the season before you decide to do this. You know, 30 games in, if it looks like the Penguins are legitimately going to contend or it looks like they're legitimately going to be a team that is going to be reckoned with, then do it. I don't know what the rush was here. It's good for the, again, I think it's good for the from the standpoint of stability. I think it's good from the standpoint of saying, oh, well, he's our guy. He's going to be our guy. But I don't know that it was necessary. And I think in that league, the way that coaches are fired and hired and rehired and fired and they're fired in the middle of the year, there's so many different things I look at and just say, I don't think that it is really necessarily, it was like really necessarily that they had to do it right now. Sullivan is a great coach, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying he's not a great coach. He is. He's obviously one of the best coaches in the league. But I wonder how much of his initial success was just basically sort of the shock value of the way he went about business versus the guy that he replaced. And is that message wearing off a little bit? Is that message, you know, starting not to resonate? It feels like that maybe was part of the case. But here's the thing about it. There's always a caveat. You got rid of the guy who seemed to dislike him the most or dislike playing for him the most in Phil Kessel. You've added some players. You moved on from Olimata. So you've changed the team a little bit. Changed the room a little bit. Given themselves a chance to, you know, maybe have a little bit different kind of feel to that team. Renewed energy. Ultimately, to me, it's going to be what happens. Can he come to some kind of an understanding with Evgeny Malkin? Because I think that's the next thing. They're not going to trade Malkin. There's not. I mean, if they do, I'd be shocked. So he's a guy who at the times has had some issues with Sullivan as well. Not quite like Phil, not quite like Kessel, but he's had some issues with Sullivan from time to time. So, you know, if Sullivan can somehow smooth that over and, you know, those two can see eye to eye and he can figure out a way to put Malkin in a position that Malkin wants to be in, I think that'll be okay. I do. I think that'll be completely okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you really take a look at this thing, Sullivan to me feels like a coach that could be one of those, I want to say like Bill Parcells types, whose success early in his, when he takes over a team, his success is a lot to do with the fact that it's just sort of shock and awe, and he's different than the guy that he replaced. I'm not saying the Penguins, believe me, I'm not saying the Penguins should not have re-signed Mike Sullivan, so let's get that out of the way. I'm saying if it were me, I would have waited. Just because I would need to see over the course of the first maybe 30 to 40 games of next season, how is the new look Penguins, how are they going to sort of respond to Sullivan, and is there too much of the old guard that, you know, that influences? 412-928-9370 is the number. What are your thoughts on the Penguins locking up Mike Sullivan? It's 93.7 The Fan. 412-928-9370 is the number. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's the Cook and Joe Show. We're talking about the breaking news of the afternoon, which is the fact that Mike Sullivan has been renewed for, it's actually 3 more years beyond what his current contract is. His current contract was over this year, and then they signed him up for additional years. And I think, you know, in general, it's not a bad thing to do. He's obviously, you know, sort of a guy that in some ways was the spark that this franchise needed to get back or to basically, you know, give the Crosby-Malkin era a shot in the arm and a chance to really kind of fulfill what you know, what you thought that they would be capable of when they got together, especially they win the Stanley Cup in 2009. They're all like 15 years old. And, you know, the next, you know, then all of a sudden they go through that long stretch where it was just one thing after another, where they, for whatever reason, couldn't quite figure it out. You know, couple of times it had something to do with, you know, the goaltender not playing so well. Other times it was, you know, their inability to score. There was one season that was really kind of wrecked because of injuries. I mean, for whatever reason, that group, it looked more and more and more like they were going to be sort of a one cup, you know, group that just leaves you a lot to be desired, or at least leaves you feeling like, boy, they should have accomplished a lot more. And then, of course, with Mike Johnston in charge, I mean, it just really, really so much was such a disaster. And at that point, it was kind of like, you know, this is not only going to take down Mike, Jim Rutherford, but, you know, this team could be broken up after the end of this season because it was looking so bad. And then they went out and they hired Mike Sullivan. You know, they fired Johnston. You know, Jim Rutherford fired Johnston in the middle of the season, which I think a lot of people were surprised. You know, Johnston was Rutherford's guy. You know, it's very hard for guys like that to admit their mistake. And they did, and he did. And so when you look back at it, that was sort of a spark. And from that point, you know, the history. They went on that year. They basically went on that year. They got on a roll late in the season, and they just played, you know, lights out, great hockey down the stretch, and they end up going all the way, and they win the Stanley Cup. The next year, they come back with a lot of the same cast, and it was a little bit more of a bumpy ride. But for the most part, it was pretty clear they were still the team to beat. And you know what? He pushed the right buttons and put the right combinations together, and they were able to go, and they were basically able to duplicate it and win a second cup. And now, you know, and not that guys play for their legacies, but now the Crosby Malkin era has a completely different feel to it than it did to, you know, right before they won the second and third cups. You know, for a while there, it was all of the talk was basically about the fact that the group had somewhat underachieved, that they hadn't really ever built on the first cup. And, you know, so you've got to give Mike Sullivan a lot of credit for that. You got to give him a lot of credit for the fact that, hey, they could have, in so many ways, they could have basically just sort of faded away, been one of those aging franchises that, you know what, that's what they are. They're somewhat interesting every single year, but they're never really in it. And you look at it, and basically they've got a lot of points. They've got a lot of you know, points and records and all the other stuff. But in terms of cups, they don't have much. You've really got to give Mike Sullivan a lot of credit for being sort of the spark that turned that whole thing around, you know. And, you know, it's funny. You can also take it a step further. Not just Mike Sullivan, but Mike Sullivan and Phil Kessel. Kessel is gone. Mike Sullivan obviously is going to be around for a while. But Kessel was gone. But really, you take those two guys and you add it to, you know, what the Penguins had, and all of a sudden you've got a legacy that is completely different. Completely different than probably what you thought it was going to be. And that, to me, is really, really why Mike Sullivan's being rewarded here. But again, I think if you look at the way hockey is and hockey coaches go, I don't know that it's necessary, that it was necessary for them to do it right here and right now. And the reason is because I think that there's a feel, at least, to this Mike Sullivan era that maybe it's on the other side of it already. And then that maybe the spark that he gave early on, just because he was different and just because he's, you know, he's a hard-nosed guy and the way that he does things, I don't know. I think that I'd be a little nervous about that. I really would. And that's really, really what it comes down to in my mind. Because Mike Sullivan is one of those coaches, like a Bill Parcells, you know, like a John Gruden even. You know, there's just those guys that are those hard-nosed, you know, tough, disciplinarian coaches. There are very, very, very few that I can think of, beyond Bill Belichick, who go about their business that way, and they're able to basically hang around for a long, long time. That's really what it comes down to. Like, what exactly is it, does it take for that kind of coach to last for a long, long time at a certain place? I don't know, but I don't know that you see it enough to feel good about locking up Mike Sullivan for, you know, as many more years as they are. And I think that's, you know, what the concern is here, is that is it really sort of nearing the end of this thing with him? Is it really sort of, you know, you could kind of feel like that last year where guys maybe weren't buying in quite as much as they did. That maybe they weren't buying in nearly as much as they used to. I don't know. I just know that, this is a risk, at least from the standpoint of it probably means they are not going to be willing to move on from him as quickly as they would have if he didn't have a contract. And you know, you don't want to say, oh, well, we want to move on from a guy, so we're not going to give him a contract extension. But you do have to wait to see what he's going to do, I would think, given the season that he's coming off of. And here's the other thing. Because there are some people who would say, well, I mean, he's got three straight 100, you know, point seasons. He's got two Stanley Cups. He's got this. I mean, coach, a lot of teams would die to have a coach like that. And I agree with that. But I also know that this is a franchise that's got a very limited window to win. And that's really what it comes down to. Joe in Swissville. Hi, Joe.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't have a problem with Mike Sullivan. It's hard to criticize someone who's won two Stanley Cups, 100 wins, or 100-point seasons, blah, 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 blah. But I think after this year's postseason, you get swept like that. And with the core team that he has, okay, you mentioned earlier about, you know, head coaches getting fired and, like, what do they have to go to? What, you know, teams that are likely rebuilding? The Penguins have, you know, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, star after star after star the last decade or and more. It's been a well-built team. And I just question whether or not, you know, is it his coaching that's gotten us this far, or is it a combination of the fact that he has a really good team to help with that? Because I wonder, could he do that with a mediocre team? And I doubt it, you know. And that's the, you know, one of the things I pointed out to the operator on here was that since Sidney Crosby's been there and Evgeny Malkin, they've taken three different head coaches to the Stanley Cup final. So that tells me the team is good. the core players that we've kept, we're gonna see success. And I just feel like, you know, after that sweep by the Islanders, like, how do you lock a guy up? I think give him one more year, see where we go, and then make that decision. But I think if you look at this past postseason, I mean, what we did against the Islanders, we got out-coached. You know, we got out-coached, we got out-played, and that falls on the head coach. You know, I just don't understand how.
Well, I mean, I don't know that they necessarily completely got out-coached, but I will say this, that Barry Trotz has gotten the better of Mike Sullivan the last 2 years.
Oh, he certainly has. I agree. He certainly has. And that's just that again, Mike Sullivan, take nothing away from the guy. I don't want to make it sound like he's the world's most awful head coach. He certainly isn't. But I just feel like it seems like so much credit goes towards the guy standing off the ice with his arms crossed coaching the team as opposed to the actual team. You know, this is a very, very talented team who was lucky enough to let go one of the best goaltenders in all of hockey the last decade and a half because they were able to draft and bring in players that were able to fill those voids. Now, obviously, we know Matt Murray hasn't been healthy, but I feel like this is a really well-built team. And I feel like it too much credit shouldn't go to Sullivan for them being that good. But at the same time, you can't take away the credit from Sullivan for getting them to 2 Stanley Cups. I mean, the credit is deserved. But that's in the past, and it's what have you done for me lately. That's how sports goes. And I'm sorry, they got swept by the Islanders. 4-0. You just don't expect that from a team that has the players that they have. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
I appreciate it. First of all, we're going to get to a break. 412-928-9370. Mike Sullivan locked up for a long, long time. Well, at least till 2023. It's 93.7 The Fan. The Penguins re-signed Mike Sullivan to a contract extension, and he will be locked up for another 3 or 4 years. And so another one of those days where there's news. Of course, it's kind of interesting. You would think this would be like something really positive and exciting, not something you dump on July 5th when a lot of people are off, the day of the holiday weekend. Like, why not wait till Monday at noon? Kind of a weird thing. You know, if it was bad news, that's when you dump it on July 5th. But Scott and Shadyside. Hi, Scott. Hi, Scott. Hello, Scott. Goodbye, Scott. Pittsburgh Phil, how are we doing?
Paul, how are you?
I'm good.
This was a good move. This was a great move. And you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but you know, your last caller, he wanted to hear your response. I'm going to give him a free Pittsburgh Phil response. And this is it. You do not win 2 Stanley Cups by osmosis. Okay, that's number one. He pushed the right buttons. He put the right combination. It was a great job. Last year, they got swept. That was a crippled team, the Islanders beat. And I'll give you this kind of analogy because you understand college basketball. Do you remember when Robert Morris played Kentucky and they made the NIT Kentucky and Robert Morris had Chipper Harris? Do you remember that?
This is when they played Kentucky probably, what, 5 or 6 years ago, something like that?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And they went into they played the powerhouse Kentucky, and Robert Morris beat them by 1 point, but they played a crippled Kentucky team. Kentucky was just crippled. They were just no good. They were all young. They never played together. They had a couple injuries. But that was just like the Penguins last year were not the Penguins. And Mike Sullivan is a phenomenal coach. They absolutely should have signed him, and they did the right thing. And Phil, you know, it was them. It was Phil Kessel or Mike Sullivan. You're going to choose a 2-time Stanley Cup champion over a player any day of the week. I mean, that's just the way I feel.
Well, I mean, I understand it. I actually, again, I don't have a problem with them signing. It was kind of a little bit surprising to me because I figured they would wait a little bit into the season to do it just to see if, you know, it has a chance to go the way that so many of these hockey things seem to go, where a coach wears out his welcome.
I understand that, but I also feel like they had to have spoken to the players, you know, Malkin, and are you guys going to, you know, buy in? I think they did that, you know, or everybody's in this year. I think the Penguins are going to be a whole different team, barring injury, than what they had been. You know, they'll put the pieces together. This guy, you don't, like I said, I'll say it again, you do not win two Stanley Cups and be a bad coach in the NHL.
Well, it's not about being a bad coach. Would you agree that Joel Quenneville is a good coach?
I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree.
The Blackhawks fired him. I mean, good coaches get fired all the time when it feels like it's not working anymore.
Okay. But we're not at that point with Mike Sullivan right now. And I think that the meter was on the let's go with them a little further than let's fire him. And I think they took the shot early and they made their decision. You either make a decision or you're indecisive. They made a decision. They made the right decision, I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Good coaches that have won championships, they get fired all the time. I mean, you know, there's a crowd of fans who, and I'm not just talking about in general, the Penguins specifically, or Pittsburgh fans. I'm talking in general. There's a crowd of fans that believe if you win a championship, it's like a lifetime contract. It's not. There's a crowd of people that believe if you replace a really good coach, you're automatically going to be a downgrade. And we go through the list of, you know, times you talk about it. I think Therrien was a great coach. I really do. But guess what? You replace him with Bylsma, you win a cup. You know, Tony Dungy's a great coach. You replaced him with Gruden. You fired him, replaced him with Gruden, you win a Super Bowl. You know, Billick was a great coach for the Ravens. They fired him and replaced him with Harbaugh, they win a Super Bowl. I mean, sometimes even a great coach sort of, you know, wears out his welcome or sort of runs its course. And, you know, it's a part of it. You know, part of it is just a product of sports. And I think part of it is a product of, you know, the society we live in, which is kind of a what have you done for me lately society. And it just, that's the way it goes. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't. I think it's good that they re-signed him. I absolutely do. I think it's good that they re-signed him and they brought him, you know, and they're going to keep him around because he is a good coach. But at the same time, I start to wonder, is this thing sort of running its course with Mike Sullivan? And if so, maybe you should have waited until at least halfway through the season. And if you did, you know, who knows? Maybe after 25, 30 games, it's clear that it's not working anymore. And you just kind of let them ride out. You know, they sort of let it ride it out. David in Ligonier.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was going to say, look at the Capitals. Barry Trotz 2 weeks after winning the Stanley Cup.
They didn't want to pay him the money, and he left.
Yeah, I mean that's 2 weeks after he won the Stanley Cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think Sullivan's worth it, but I mean, coaches in the NHL are a dime a dozen. I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if they're a dime a dozen, but they do get, you know, they do get sort of moved around more than probably a lot of other places.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at the Penguins and everything. They brought in Bylsma from the baby pens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was pointing to that. I mean, and you know, Therrien had him in the final the year before. I appreciate the call. He had him in the final the year before, and they replaced him. And they end up going on and, you know, winning the thing. Just didn't feel like it was working anymore. That happens in sports. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Also follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. What's Cooking is brought to you by your Pittsburgh area Geico rep. Tim Hester, as we always do. We thank Tim Hester for his support and for always supporting the show and being a sponsor. So what's cooking? Well, I would say it's a fairly interesting, intriguing, and somewhat important series down at PNC Park. If you're not doing anything, it's a great place to go this weekend. You've got Milwaukee in town, and the Pirates have a chance to be at least tied for first place on Sunday with three wins over the Brewers. Either way, the games are always exciting when they play the Brewers. You've got Brault, Williams, and Musgrove going against Davies, Hauser, and Anderson. So what's cooking? That's what's cooking tonight at Stephen Brault. And really, you know, Stephen Brault has pitched really well recently. You know, whatever you think of him, he's pitched well recently. You feel like, you know, given his history, there's probably a shelf life to that. But so far, you know, recently he's given them a chance to win when he's gone out there, and that's all you can ask for. And again, you know, they win two out of three in this series. It, you know, puts them a little bit closer to first. If they sweep it, they could be tied. They will at least be tied with Milwaukee. A great time to be at the ballpark. And then, of course, Monday we've got the Home Run Derby. Josh Bell has a chance maybe to be the first. Well, I will say this. He will set a Pirates record for home runs in the Home Run Derby, because I think the most the Pirates ever hit is like six. So I think Josh Bell hit that with his eyes closed. That's what's cooking. Coming up next, we've got the PM team, Pony and Moeller. But I think it's just Pony.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.